Our scripture reading this morning is Numbers chapter 5, verses 1 to 10. You'll find it on page 123 in the Pew Bible. We now leave behind the numbers portion of Numbers, the counting of people. And there's a natural transition to the preservation of the presence of the Lord and of the people of the Lord from defilement. That was one of the chief functions of the Levites, to ensure the purity not only of the tabernacle but of the camp of the Israelites. And two kinds of people are going to be excluded from the camp. There are ways in which they can be brought in and the defilement can be removed. But first you have in verses 1 and 4, those whose ailment is a picture of sin. There are those with skin diseases. Some English versions say leprosy. It's not really Hansen's disease, which is formerly leprosy. It's all kinds of skin ailments, and it looks like man has been defiled. It's a picture of the defiling presence of sin. There's also those who have a bodily discharge and those who have touched a body. The way the theology worked was the camp of Israel was the holy camp and the place of life. Things associated with death, bloodshed, defilement are to be kept out. So here you have those. There's nothing wrong with the people per se, but they bear a picture of defilement. Now the second half, beginning at verse 5, are those who are defiled because of sin. Verse 5 speaks of a man who commits in unfaithfulness against the Lord. It seems to not be specified, but a parallel passage in Leviticus 6 makes it clear that this is a sin of fraud against one's neighbor, someone who has cheated financially, who has broken a formal agreement. Now, what's interesting is that that is called sin against the Lord. And it is defiling before the Lord to treat your neighbor in unfaithfulness. It's very instructive, isn't it? Any idea that we can sin against our neighbors and then come before God as if we're right with him is utterly disavowed in the Bible. And we need to deal with sin. Not only sins that we think are against God, they're all against God. Also those against our neighbors. It's interesting that three things have to happen. There has to be an atonement for sin. The person has to confess the sin and make a sacrifice. But then there has to be some practical restoration. Now, the question is, how relevant is this to the New Testament? Well, much has changed. This is life among the people of God while the veil was still up. Sin had not been finally dealt with. And so there's a teaching going on here that belongs to this period. If you have a skin ailment, you may come to church. Those types of things. But you may not come before God if you are defiled truly by your sin. That's the point. The outward provision has changed. The veil is down. All may come and gather with the people of God. And yet the reality is we have to deal with sin before we're accepted by God. Thank God for the gift of his son, the Lord Jesus. But then notice those who deal with their sin by coming to Jesus need to make practical repentance and even practical restoration. Here, there's a 20% levy in the restoration of fraud towards a neighbor. It reminds us, if we're really going to talk about being godly people, we're not only going to seek forgiveness, we're going to seek to live that way and to do right to the greatest extent that we can. Well, with these things in mind, let's give ear to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word, Numbers 5, beginning at verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Command the children of Israel that they put out of the camp every leper, everyone who has a discharge, and whoever becomes defiled by a corpse. You shall put out both male and female. You shall put them outside the camp, that they may not defile their camps in the midst of which I dwell." And the children of Israel did so and put them outside the camp, as the Lord spoke to Moses, so the children of Israel did. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, when a man or woman commits any sin that men commit in unfaithfulness against the Lord, and that person is guilty. Then he shall confess the sin which he has committed. He shall make restitution for his trespass in full, plus one-fifth of it, and give it to the one he has wronged. But if the man has no relative to whom restitution may be made for the wrong, the restitution for the wrong must go to the Lord for the priest, in addition to the ram of the atonement with which atonement is made for him. Every offering of all the holy things of the children of Israel which they bring to the priest shall be his, and every man's holy thing shall be his. Whatever any man brings, the priest shall be his." The grass withers, the flowers fall, and the word of our God abides forever and ever. Amen.